How many of y'all are hungry and ready to receive from God this morning? Come on. All right, all right. God is good. Would you stand with me? We're going to read Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. How many of you were here last week? A few of you, okay. Well, those of you that were not, the sermons are online. We've started a new emphasis called the antidote, and this is a second piece of this. We read the scripture last week. We're going to read it again to start this morning. It says, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of their body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, even slander, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask, O God, that you would speak to us this morning through your word and help us, O God, to receive from you. May it be a seed that is planted firmly in the soil of our heart, the fertile soil of our heart, Lord, and may it produce a harvest of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, we're talking about the antidote, and the second piece to this is intentionality. Intentionality. So what is intentionality? According to the Oxford Dictionary, intentionality as a noun is the fact of being deliberate or purposive. As a philosophy, it is the quality of mental states, for example, thoughts, beliefs, desires, hopes, which consist in their being directed towards some object or state of affairs. As an adjective, the word is intentional, and it means to be done with intention or on purpose, intended. Synonyms for that are purposeful, calculated, deliberate, pre-planned, thought out in advance, thoughtful, predetermined. Premeditated is also one, but it didn't make it on the list. Okay, so intentionality encompasses all of our thoughts, our beliefs, our desires, and our hopes. It is the subconscious compass. It is the subconscious compass that directs us, drives us, inspires us, and ultimately determines our destination. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God in his word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. As we talked about last week, Jesus pointed to the fact that we are corrupt at our very core. Even when we have no goals or aspirations, intentionality still exists within us. I want to stop there for a second. Even when we seemingly have no goals or aspirations, intentionality still exists within us. It still exists within us. Why? Because there's something that's called our survival instinct. It's the most base of instincts that we have. It's the most base of things that continually drives a person. But what is that? It's where we have an intention. We have set all of our thoughts, our mind, our beliefs, everything on surviving. And so therefore, we are meeting our core needs, the things that we have to stay alive, right? There is another piece to this. Even when you don't have aspirations or goals in your life, there is another thing that takes over, and that is pleasure. Pleasure. Uncontrolled desire. Uncontrolled desire. If it feels good, do it, right? Is that kind of what our society is telling everyone? If it feels good, do it. Just go with it. Just, you have to experience it to know whether it's good or not. You have to be able to get in there and just have fun with it, and then you can determine, okay, well, maybe that's not what I want, right? But it's all about pursuing self-gratification, self-pleasure. That is another base intentionality of our lives. Even without goals, even without aspirations, intentionality exists within us. I think of, how many of y'all saw The Lord of the Rings? I'm nerding out for a minute. Okay, there's a few of you. All right, so it's a trilogy. And in the first one, how many of you read the book? Let me do that for the other people in the room. Okay, there were a few. Okay. In the first of the trilogy, there is a quote from Gandalf where he's at the beginning, he comes in to this place, and man, I'm going to mess it up now. Is it Bilbo that runs out there and says, you're late, you're late, you showed up late? And he looks at him, he says, I am neither early nor late. I arrive precisely when I intend to. I arrive precisely when I intend to. That's the truth of it. Our life is what we intend it to be, for the most part. What we do is what we intend to do. There is no such thing as an unintended deed. Deeds are not unintentional. They are always intentional. Listen to what I'm saying. Deeds are always intentional. Every action is preceded by an intention. What are unintended at times are the results or consequences of our deeds or actions. You can want to do something, and you can think that this is how to do it, and therefore you do it. Maybe it's not how to do it, and maybe it's not the right thing to do, but what you intended to do is what you did. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why wisdom and understanding are so important. Because we can go through life thinking that we're doing the right thing when we keep missing it over and over and over again. But intentionality says, well, this is what I am wanting to do, and therefore my actions are doing that thing. My thoughts are turned toward that. My beliefs are turned toward that. My hope is turned toward that. My aspiration is turned toward that. Say that 5 times fast. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but its end is the way of death. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. When we do not have the right intentionality, when our core system of beliefs and thoughts and our hopes and our aspirations are not set to the right course, we inevitably will wind up in the wrong place. That's a brilliant thing to say, right? You're like, oh, wow, thank you, Captain Obvious, right? But that is a reality. It is a reality, and that is to say that what we think is going to get us somewhere isn't necessarily what gets us where we want to go. And we need an antidote. We need for God to come into our lives and restructure us, recalibrate, set that compass in the right direction. We must set our intentionality, the object of our intent must be focused in on Christ. Jesus came as the antidote to all the pain, the suffering, and the heartbreak. He came to set us free from the oppression of the enemy and to make us whole and complete. He came to give us a new identity and to abolish fear. He came to show us a better way and to establish a new covenant. He is the antidote. But an antidote is only useful when it is rightly applied. An antidote is only useful when it is rightly applied. The first step in application of the antidote to our lives is intentionality. That is to say, that we must turn our hearts, our minds, our beliefs, our hopes toward Him. He must become the object of our intentionality. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative and energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions," there's that word, intentions, "of the heart." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength," your entire being. You know, we are a spirit, right? We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we are housed in a body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we are housed in a body. When we got saved, we were born again. Say, we were born again. That is to say that our spirit was reborn. We took on the DNA of our Heavenly Father, who is what? God is what? A spirit, okay? So our spirit was reborn. This is the complete act of grace, that we are born again, not by our might, but by the power of the Spirit of God. It is by grace that you have been saved. Now, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions must be renewed. It must be renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of" what? Of your mind. "Focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, 5, and 8 through 10 says, "Set your minds," say, "set your minds," that's intentionality, "set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You must also get rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed, which is what? Being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. What is it being renewed in? In knowledge in the image of its creator. This is what intentionality comes into play. We can't just live on autopilot. When we get saved, we can't just live on autopilot. Our spirit controls our soul, which controls our body. We must allow God's spirit within us to direct our mind, our will, and our emotions toward him. He must become the object of our being. This is intentionality. Think about this for a minute. When we come to Jesus, right? We give our hearts to him. We say a prayer. We ask for him to come into our heart. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. The Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says that we are reborn. We are reborn. We are rebirthed. Our spirit is renewed. It's transformed. It's a miraculous mystery that happens within us. We are changed forever. Our spirit is no longer the same. However, we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And this is something that has to be brought under control by the Spirit of God working within us. He must grab a hold of us. We have to allow him to work in and through us to change, to renew our way of thinking, our way of acting, our way of being, the thoughts that we think, the words that we say, the belief system that we have. All of those things have to change, our hopes, our aspirations, to come into alignment with him, with his word, with his truth. Because as we read earlier, there's a way that seems right to us, but it ends in what? In death. It ends in death. And so if we continue to have an intention towards good things, I don't know anybody in this room that says, oh, I don't want a good life. I don't want to have success. I don't want to have comfort. I do not want to have pleasure. I do not want to end in peace. I don't know any one of us that says we don't want those things. Those are all things that we desire. And yet God says there is a way that seems right to us, but it ends in death. And therefore, when Jesus comes into our heart, when he changes and transforms our spirit, we still have a mind, a will, and emotions. That is our soul that has to be transformed and renewed by the power of the Spirit. But this is something that we don't like to talk about. You don't hear this preached a lot in churches because it means personal responsibility. Say it with me. Personal responsibility. That means I have to be intentional about something. I have to set my intentions. I have to set my mind on things above. I have to change what I do by changing what I think. By aligning my mind, my will, my emotions with the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you will not be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let's read that together. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Pretty straightforward. I don't need to give much explanation there. James chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read this together. So then, surrender, yield to God, stand up to the devil, and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. If we surrender or yield ourselves to God, We can then stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will run away. He will turn away from us. How do we surrender? How do we submit or yield ourselves to God? How do we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives? It's simple. One word: prayer. Prayer. It's the simplest of things. Communion with God. And yet it's probably the last thing we do. What do they say? When all else fails? Oh man, that is the worst statement ever. That is the... Please, write that down and then put a big red mark through it and say, never again will I say this. Do the Ghostbuster thing, the red circle with a line through it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Never stop praying. Say it with me. Never stop praying. I don't know how anybody tries to translate away from that statement. How do you get your theology messed up on that? It makes sense, right? I mean, it's as straightforward as it can get. How often should we pray? Based on that, right? If we say never stop praying, we should pray. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, just to see. Maybe we missed it somewhere. Pray in the Spirit at what? And on? Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Man, I think God is trying to tell us something. So remember how we started out saying that the antidote must be what? Correctly applied? Well, it sounds like we're reading the instructions for the correct application of the antidote. That's what this sounds like. So if you went to the doctor and you got medication because you were sick, it would come with a list of instructions. It would say, take by mouth 3 times a day, 2 times a day, 1 time a day, you know, whatever it is, 6 times a day. Hopefully nobody's taking that kind of stuff. But the point is, it tells you, and then it'll say something like, take with food, you know, or take before you eat or before dinner, right? It has all of these little instructions. And then it'll tell you also a length of time that you're supposed to take it, right? There's a length of time that you're supposed to take medication. Okay, so here's the thing. Jesus is the antidote, and how often are we supposed to take him? Man. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I want to talk to you for just a moment about our prayer language. A prayer language is something that we need. We need to be able to pray in the Spirit at all times. We need to be able to have this constant communion with God. Why? Because it's very clear, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what's going on in our lives at the moment. We don't know what's under there that's kind of just working around and trying to work itself out. You know when we know that it's there? When it's coming out of our mouth. Then we're like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Or we're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. We don't know what's under the surface, oftentimes, that is stewing and bubbling up. But the Holy Spirit does. And when we pray in our prayer language to God, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. More than all of you. But he says, I do that in my, where? In my prayer closet. In my prayer closet. When we are in communion with God, when we are in communion with God, reaching out to him, heaven reaching out to us, there is this language of heaven that God has given us. See, there's this thing that people say, well, it was audible tongues that people understood. Okay, yes, but then there's also the scripture that says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of what? Men and of angels. And so then that means that there are languages that nobody on earth would understand, right? And God has given us this way to be able to communicate directly with him that no one else, not even ourselves, can comprehend and understand. And why would that be? Why would that be? It is because if we always consciously are aware of everything that's happening, we try to change things. It's the same reason that God put Adam to sleep when he made Eve. He didn't need his advice. He wasn't there going, I'm not going to go there. You know what us guys would do. But the point is that God had a perfect plan. And so he said, I don't need your advice. You just let me do my work. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work within us. Galatians 5:16, one more time. So I say, let the Holy Spirit, if you can go back to that really quickly. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Galatians 5:16. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. One more back. Well, don't worry about it. It's okay. Write it down. Read it again. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Who should guide our lives? The Holy Spirit. That means we've got to let him be in control. We've got to let him be the one that is in charge. Prayer is communion with God. It is how our spirit stays connected to God's spirit. We need to take a holy pause. Say a holy pause. Some of us more than others. I'm the first one on that list. We need to take a holy pause. When anger, fear, doubt, frustration, anxiety, impure thoughts, or temptations of any kind come our way, we need to stop. We need to pray. A holy pause. Just stop right there. Somebody's coming, bringing words against you, and it's making you all kinds of mad, and you just want to go off on them. Holy pause. You're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. Holy pause. You are facing a diagnosis that has been given and it doesn't look good. Don't let that fear creep in. A holy pause. When you are struggling with all kinds of anxiety because of the pressures and the stresses of life, and you begin to feel yourself tensing up, a holy pause. We started the songs off today, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. We should never be, what? Discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. A holy pause. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge, I can't do the Trump thing, huge, by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on who? The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We must run the race with endurance that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes upon Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. Being confident in this, that he who began the good work in me, say in me, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus came as the antidote. He is the antidote. But in order for an antidote to work, it must be applied. It must be rightly applied. Every time that we encounter the virus in our lives, we must apply the antidote. Intentionality is when all that we are is purposefully turned toward all that he is. It is turning our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength toward Jesus, setting our affection upon him. Intentionality is loving Jesus more than anything else by giving him first place. It is bringing all of our being, what we think, what we say, what we do, our feelings, our desires, into alignment with his spirit in us. It's yielding to Jesus. Intentionality is making Jesus the pursuit of our passion and the object of our affection. It is loving God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. I want to close by looking at this scripture. Psalm 91, verse 14 through 16. Because he has set, say set, because he has set his love upon me, this is God speaking, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, say therefore, I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When we choose to turn our hearts toward God, to set our love upon him, he is able to work in our lives. He is able to change us. He is able to transform us. He is able to make us into his image and into his likeness. But we must choose to take the antidote. We must choose intentionality. We must choose to live life on purpose, with purpose. We must say, everything that I am, God, everything that I am, God, is focused and directed toward you. You are the object of my affection. You are the one that I serve. And it's not that I'm doing this in my strength. Understand this. It's not that I have to constantly beat myself over the head and walk around and, oh, don't do that. Don't look there. Don't say that. Don't. No. It's the holy pause. When I feel it coming up, what do? Yield to Jesus. Yield to Jesus. I take the antidote. I take the antidote. Will you choose today to be intentional about your relationship with Jesus? Will you begin to live on purpose? Will you take the time to align your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, your words with your profession of faith? Will you allow the Word made flesh, who lives within you, to live through you? Will you yield to the Holy Spirit? Will you commit to take a holy pause and take it to the Lord in prayer? Let Him work in you. Let Him work through you. Turn your heart toward Him. He will change you. He is the antidote. And intentionality is the key to living free. I want us to take a few minutes to turn our hearts toward Him. As we sing this next song, I want you to find a place, whether that's right where you are, or if you need to move away from others, you want to come up here, that's perfectly fine. It's not the place that's important. It's the ability to fine-tune your heart, fine-tune your mind, fine-tune your spirit. And I want us to take that holy pause right now and begin to turn our hearts, our minds, our thoughts toward Him. As we sing this next song, will you respond to Jesus this morning? Will you respond to His word? Lord praise in this place. Lord, we choose to turn our hearts toward you. We choose to turn our eyes toward you, Lord. We choose to gaze upon you and to seek your face. We ask, oh God, that you would reveal yourself to us like never before, that we would be changed and we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us to take that holy pause and surrender, yield to you. Would you pray the Lord's Prayer with me as an act of surrender this morning? We don't have it up there, but I'm sure everyone knows it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we turn our hearts toward you. We make you the focus of our passion. We commit to yield ourselves to you daily. May it be so that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. May our lives bring you honor and glory. And it is in the precious name of Jesus that we ask all of these things. May all of God's people say, amen and amen. Well, if you're glad that you were here today, could you just give the Lord one more praise? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We are so glad that you were here. If you were a first-time guest, please be sure to stop by the Welcome Center. We have a special gift for you. Thank you again for being here. Let us make sure that we are connecting throughout the week. Make sure that you are staying connected through all of the different means of social media, our emails, etc. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a blessed week. And remember to live with intentionality. God bless you.